Harry. Wake up, Harry. Harry. Wake up. It's time for your show. At the Cry Baby Bar. Iron Street aches. It's been another fog day of eager feet, of look-ahead lives above the feet, hope rushing over hope, the uncomfortable hand-holding of ignominy and valiance, while abound the nut-loose ninny variation. Iron Street, resting in a growing city dark as streetlights click and then on. Smack sidewalks, where car lights sweep, the neon ripple of the Cry Baby Bar. Watch it stumble across 1.5 squares of sidewalk, where all right pedestrian patrons, brash and slow-moving, jangle the door, the bar door bell, and enter. I look at this malign street and see in the treed lot opposite the graffiti on the massive number 16 collery car. Dead on a forgotten track, empty of the final operation, embarrassed to be seen in the man-high weeds. I have seen this graffiti for a while now. That top left crease line, the fadedest of the lettering, dedazzledy and the gods of night. And below this, and adorned with quotation marks, vanishing point, the good silhouette of the wizard with the hat, the stick, and the lamp, looking up river to the vanishing point. Our multi-platinum million-dollar album, Vanishing Point, the album to put us on top. Those stick-clicking, bass-thumping, keyboard and sax, Hullabaloo's band members are dead now. What would they think if they were here on the crybaby stage, here, looking out at that, past the plate glass to the past when they walked the earth as kings, a marching. Now one remains, Cockroach Harry, the slug left to find the direction of the cabbage patch. You were D-Dazzle D. If D-Dazzle D saw you in the street today, he would turn the other way and never in a million years think he can become that or this. I look at myself in the grime of the jack post, the sleeve of mirrors, gray and ligmenty. K.O. enters the bar, nods, winks, smiles, orders a Tom Collins halfway to his table. He does some high finger twirl that drops floorward. The gesture is for me to get on with it. Play the tune. This is my last night and so on. So let's go. Extra long broccoli, I hear called after the girl with the drink order. Her name is Lemonade. I learned that tonight. Lemonade Barker. Lemonade, I said to her, you've got to give me something more. Is Lem okay? Lemmy is good. My parents were hippies, and never introduced me to religion, so they failed me. There was too much of whatever you think and whatever. I think at 4 years old it began. A kid needs direction. It was wasted parentage. Those are quite the indictments on one's parents to leave me with. And I looked again. There was far more to this small monolith, blue-eyed, red-haired fire station. Blue eyes, red hair, complementary colors bound up in a head. Failed lemonade works nights at the crybaby bar. She studies graphic arts and photography at Steel City College. There are some young who immediately and forever become the best friend you will have. At one time, I would have petitioned her with a wink for discourse after the genuine little conversation we had. Best to let them come to me now. She comes to me, Lemon does. She finds me for soccer. And that's not the game, oh lit heads. It's more like we're hopscotch friends. I think she feels I would have set her up with religion. Good enough, old KO. The cannonball straight off? That what you want, you salacious mannequin of capital? Very well. I will point the cannon and light the fuse. Blow your bucket man out of his chair. Will you look at me? Beholden to someone who ripped me off for years? Colonel Tom Parker was a pink-faced choir boy with clean cheek and nails alongside K.O. Look at me, but also look at him, the pariah dog who, with the few teeth remaining, half-bearing in hopes of one more rip from the rancid carcass. We are something, the human, oblivious to, obvious in, our loneliness, our greed, in our me, mami, me. That is pushing for the front line of the gravy train. Bowl out, spoon out, saffron robe, over a hot bra and ill-fitted drawer. We trim, file, and blow on nails. We rinse clean, don our two-year-old underwear, zip up our YYZs, then lean parasitical in the morning, sway hostly in the afternoon, wander bent at dusk, lost like a shirt button from grade school, graveled grade, jammed down in the reeds of the school ditch grass. Oh, cannonball, oh, cannonball, where you gonna fall, oh, cannonball? I wonder what the song's about, someone hollers. Who's the protagonist, comes another. Strike you in the kitchen, strike you in the hall. Oh, cannonball, where are you gonna fall? I'm gonna fall in the toilet if they don't get a seat soon. Looks like you did. Hey, my hair's got a problem. Lemonade watches me. Tipperoo leers at the petulant others, while keeping firm and at attention for the song. Frozen like the squirrel in Copper Park, spruce cone in hands, while the brute German shepherd with the bad, sad eyes stares. The swig at the bar looks up. After the song, there's applause. After the song, I ram through another digestible 8 tunes. Then, I'm going to take a little break, I hear myself saying. Could you respect the equipment? K.O. stands above me next, while I'm unplugging, hat in hand. He reaches across to shake my hand. I'll be in touch, Harry. Not your cup of tea, I say. He turns that turn of someone who has said to themselves, I'm not going to say anything to him. cannonball? What the hell is that? The blues? Harry doesn't play the blues. You were D-Dazzle D, man. Man, you single-handedly brought the Tokyo Dome to its knees. Never done. And never done since. And Supertramp, the biggest band in the world in the 70s, opened for you at Odsall Stadium Racetrack in Leeds. Where is Harry? The crybaby bar? Are you kidding me? You've got to get out of here. Your life is at stake. The cannonball has a wet charge, and this place is Dante's Inferno. Did I see you milling down around the Tarantula Arms? Tell me you don't live there. The travel agent booked me in there. It looks like a movie set from that 70s horror flick, The Sentinel. I had to relocate after an hour. The cockroaches had saddles. The fleas wore holsters. My pillowcase had peanut butter on it. At least I hope so. The cannonball is not you. And something tells me it's not yours. You haven't written anything. Tell me, have you? I had another set, but I was zipping up my guitar bag for the night. And that guitar is pathetic. Did a kid draw on it? I know you are not the same after you lost your Gibson. Look, Harry, here before you is your number one fan, me, KO of Toronto, who beyond any know that you are the poet of the century. I mean it. You're living it. You're living the life, and maybe you have to. But bring it back from the brink. Vanishing Point was the best-selling album of all time, and you wrote every lyric, made the Beatles bug. Where's that guy? You wrote those songs. Can you give me another shot? K.O. gets still. I got one of my own, first I've written in years. What's it called? He says. There's a sadness going around. Really? He bobs his head. I've seen this before. He could always spot when things were up. You know what you got there? That? You got a title. You got a title, sonny boy. A title for the times, which is the element that is consistent in every great song ever written. You got the zeitgeist. The job of the poet is to clarify the moment. Because I feel that. Yes. A sadness going around. Yes. Like sickness, right? The plague. Those dirty masks covering coughing mouths and sniveling noses. Oh, honey. Everyone in the street feels that. Everyone walking the curve of the earth now feels that. That I'll listen to. But I've got to get back to Toronto business. We'll stay in touch. You'll contact me. But Harry, as a friend and even confidant at one time, get out of here. I wish I had a bag of money. I'd place it in both your hands and squeeze hard. But money doesn't work with the kung fus of the earth. The chosen poet one. They operate on the ephemeral. There's a sadness going around. What will I do for you? What I will do for you is to hear that impartially, and not in some fifth ring of hell with cackles, caterwauls, and a toilet running its water out through the door. The crybaby bar. Go back to the source, Hare. Make it important. Back to the source. I guess he meant the night at the trailer, Jolly Moore's. I'm walking home, my guitar bag on my shoulders, the $11 guitar inside. I hear a tin can kicked, and look, my feet are there, back on the steel steps of the trailer. where I hear through gill-like windows. Heart and soul burns forward, the door opens. I am inside and I see the living room, where a coven circle of three long-haired guys sit on turned-up milk crates. One plays bass. One plays a 12-string. One has a lap steel guitar. A woman drummer in a wife-beater t-shirt. Rat-a-tat-tats, sticks, touches the skins of real drums. A beautiful display of art in shells with brass discs catching light all around. She double winks me, smiles. A guy dressed in full black, committed to a Nietzsche mustache, sits on a wood piano stool, a boutique organ. All smile, and it registers as this being the first time I see a consistent, happy folk, body and soul. A big Arabic bong sits on a table center, a baggie alongside with its oink whiff permeates the room. The drummer and the wife beater single winks me. "Is that Jolly Moore's Gibson I see?" she says. The lap steel player pipes up. "That man could play. His licks were from the bottom of the ocean." The bass player froze up, I saw, at my arrival with a guitar bared. He centered his feigned attention on tuning keys. The 12-string player also froze up, feigned fidgeted with his strap. Did a lick, some runs, and those two, I saw for the first time how territorial the musician is, how they fall into a state of suspect when a new player enters. It's turfs and rabbit warrens and lions and prides with all musicians. Thing is, I was no player. Big Mike Marlborough says, "Larry, bass, Joe, 12-string, Tommy, slide, Mavis is on the drums, and Emmanuel, the organ. This is Graveyard Harry, y'all. He's got Jolly Moore's 6-string, and he'll be sitting in. He's on the bus with us tomorrow morning." While the bass and 12-string suffer, the others hoot approval. "Bus? What bus?" "I can't play," I say. And the beam is raised like a Salinger's book. The faces of bass Larry and 12-string Joe relax. If I can't play, they can go back to their reign over the cornfields of Iowa. Clarissa picks up a tambourine. "That's the thing," says Mike, strapping on a sunburst 6-string Telecaster. "We can bury you in sound, and when you're ready, Harry, just emerge, like the sun on a Van Gogh. Much in life, Harry, is show. Music, most especially. We need a placeholder till Jolly Moore comes back, and you're it. We're on tour in the morning. Meph is bringing the bus. Do you have the guitar pick? There was a tussle over that." Meph bringing the bus, on tour in the morning. Why do I not speak up, especially about the guitar pick? They set me up with a stool and a short stubby beer. They hook up two mics for me, one for the Gibson sound hole and one for my voice. I can't tell you how much I love this, yet it's also a tightrope, high over Notre Dame with no pole. "Just sit there for the first one," says Mike. "Don't touch a string till the groove descends upon you. The less your will, the faster it comes." Clarissa sat alongside, touched my arm. "Music, Harry, you're a guitar player. In the morning we cross the country." run away with the circus, pressed into service, in my state of the sublime. The song had started. I watch fingers, it's in C, the primal key, the piano whites. I watched what they were doing like a passenger taking over the flying of an airplane. But what about a guitar pick? And as soon as this notion even comes, there at my feet, in the shag carpet near the baseboard, near the heater, a guitar pick, red, the color of a bingo marker. And by the second verse, I got bold enough to strum. But then, like a gunshot, the trailer's backside lit up. And out of the gill windows, where I saw a line of motorbikes and a dune buggy, were headlights. The playing stopped. What was left was the rumble of a massive engine. Clarissa looked up. "What is it?" I said. "Who?" she said. "El Supremo Incognito. Even I haven't met Mef." And in the dim, slim hallway that feels itself down past dark rooms, that cat waddled. An open window above, curtain lace blowing. Silence. Then, heavy boots on steel steps. ¶¶